cities of people. In spite of all the darkness, the writer declares, I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In the cries of anguish, the writer knows God. In the midst of change and uncertainty in society and in the lives of our churches, can we boldly and courageously trust in the love of God that never ceases, that is always bringing about something new within which there is hope? For some of us, the changing pace of society might be frightening or disturbing. With social media, with the continuing use and development of AI, of a political shift towards the right wing. But if the writer or writers of Lamentations could declare words of hope in the midst of the deepest struggle, might we? As I've said, this is not to suggest that we are to ignore the fears of the world or pretend that we are not part of it. We are here to be fully present. But can we find the glimmer of hope in the promises of God? This passage in itself gives, I think, immense hope. We all struggle at times with pain, with sadness, with darkness even in our lives. Hopefully not literally having arrows shot at us and our teeth broken on gravel. But we all carry burdens. We all face loss and hurt and anguish. And we see the devastation in our world of starvation and injustice, of war and poverty, of homelessness. The list could go on and on and on. Yet in the midst, can we boldly declare, He will have compassion according to His steadfast love. And particularly the end of this passage in Lamentations, in verse 33. For the Lord does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. So friends, I wonder if this might be our hope in the midst of challenge. Where do we turn in times of trouble? And is this something we need to recall today? So to turn to Matthew's gospel for a few moments. In our reading, we hear that the disciples sail out into the water in stormy conditions during the fourth watch of the night. And Jesus goes out to them, walking on the water. The disciples, we're told, were terrified. And you can imagine that they would be, surely. They thought that Jesus was a ghost, but he reassures them. Peter asks for proof that this is actually Jesus by saying, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus replies with the word, come. We know the story. Peter steps out, walks on the surface of the water towards Jesus. Can you imagine in that moment how Peter must have felt as he began to walk on water? Elation and awe, forgetting the storm, forgetting the dangers and going out to meet Jesus. He keeps his focus on Jesus for a few moments and stays afloat in the storm. But however, like most of us, Peter is then distracted by that which is going on around him. Again, it's not really a surprise. He is on water in a storm raging around him. And he takes his eyes off Jesus. We're told that he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, Lord, save me. And in Peter's situation, can any of us truly say that we would not have been afraid? Yet Jesus comes to Peter and saves him. Friends, many of you will know that I taught at a primary school for a little bit before I came into ministry. And during my teacher training, I was teaching a year four class, and we had a topic about the Mary Rose, the ship that sank just off of Southampton. And I gave the children a challenge to make a ball of plasticine float. So we had a tank of water at the front of the class, and I gave them one lump of varied colours of plasticine and said, right, I want you to make this plasticine float. So they took a while, and when they decided how to mould their little piece of plasticine, I encouraged them to come to the front of the class and to test out their creation. So as with all classes, and many of you who are teachers will know, you get all sorts of variations of things when you ask that kind of question. I saw all sorts of creations. Some children decided to split the ball in two and just drop it into the water, and they expected the two sections to float. Others created tiny little balls and then threw them in and expected them to float. One child flattened the lump between his hands and just plopped it into the water and actually burst into tears when his didn't float. And some others just looked utterly bewildered, I must say. But it must have taken at least 30 minutes for one bright spark in the class to make the connection between the Mary Rose, a boat, and what I'd asked them to do. And he produced this lovely little boat, which we then floated across the water, and everyone went, oh, why didn't I do that? Yes. As we all know, particularly those of us who come from coastal places, boats are ergonomically designed to float. Bits of plasticine are not, so I'm afraid our boat very quickly sank. But I think sometimes that boat image is helpful for us as the people of God. What keeps us afloat? How do we avoid sinking in our Christian lives? But often we are too content and comfortable. What would happen, I wonder, if we stepped out of the boat? If we truly put our hope in the steadfast love of God and stepped out? Would we sink like Peter? Would we lose our focus on Jesus? Would we allow fear and doubt to cloud our faith and pull us down? And do we sometimes let that worry and fear deter us from stepping out in faith? Where is our hope, you might say? So friends, in this scripture, we see that Peter is sinking. And sometimes we can feel as if we are doing so too. Are we trusting and focusing on God through the storms in our lives, or have we allowed fear to cause us to begin to sink? As I've said multiple times in this sermon already, we all have and will continue to face storms in our lives. But the powerful message from this passage is that if we trust, if we hope, if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, then we have help in the storm. Doesn't mean that there won't be storms, but Jesus journeys with us. And this is a hope, friends, that needs to be shared. Shared wherever we go, whether our faith and hope is strong and we feel like we can do anything God asks of us, or when our faith and hope feels very, very small. Yet, friends, this image from Matthew's gospel is one that can help us. If we are struggling, if we call out to Jesus, help will come. When Peter panics and begins to sink, he calls out to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't just leave him there and say, oh, get on with it yourself. Jesus leads Peter to the safety of the boat and the care of his friends. And the waves and the wind die down. Fear is transformed into awe. Terror is transformed into belief. And the disciples begin to praise the one who has saved them. Friends, I think this story also tells us that God is asking us to step out from our comfortable boats? Are we prepared to ignore God, to sit still, to remain in our comfort zone? Or are we really prepared to step out in hope to what God is asking of us? Are we prepared to take that risk? What is it that God might be asking of us as individuals and as churches? Where might we step out of the boat? Where might we go? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose collected works I'm currently reading, and I suspect you will hear quoted quite frequently, I apologise, he once said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. So how might we, friends, live out our calling as people of God, firm in our identity, filled with hope for the future, but not hiding ourselves away from the realities of today? Where is our hope in the midst of a narrative of decline and despair? Are we prepared to take a step of faith and hope if God asks us to? I conclude with the words from Lamentations before we hear one more piece of scripture. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God." We're going to conclude by hearing Psalm 121, read by my friend Mary, who is visiting from Dover. Mary, thank you.
Thank you so much, Miriam. This is a great privilege for me to read today, and I'd like to share with you Psalm 121. "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Amen."
Friends, we sing our next hymn. If you're following in a hymn book, it's number 673 in Singing the Faith, the red hymn book, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" During our hymn, we will take up our offering for the work of church and circuit. There will be a basket that passes amongst you. If you have not come prepared, please just pass that basket on, and please do not feel embarrassed, I hope. We sing together number 673.
Thank you.
Let's pray for just a moment. Holy and gracious God, we come offering our gifts. We thank you for your blessings in our lives. And as we offer our gifts, we pray that they may be used in hope, that they may be used in faith, and that they may be used for your glory. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Please do be seated. Friends, I'm delighted to welcome Claire to come and lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Claire.
Faced with the immensity and urgency of the crises facing the world today, and with which we are relentlessly bombarded by the news media, it's easy to feel helpless and hopeless and at a loss to know where to start in our prayers, or indeed where to stop. So we begin simply by affirming our faith as the source of our hope and our help. We believe in God, who created this beautiful world from love and for love, and who has never abandoned it. We believe in Jesus, who walked alongside the poor and oppressed, and wrestled with the powers of this world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, silently, steadily at work, sowing seeds of hope and new life in the most barren places. This is the faith that keeps us afloat and on which we take our stand as we come to God in prayer. After each section of the prayers that follow, there will be a brief pause for you to fill in the gaps by calling to mind a place or situation or person of particular concern to you. And to the bidding, Lord, in your mercy, please respond, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we come to you now with our prayers for the world. We come not to offer words, but to offer the deep concerns of our hearts and minds, trusting that somehow they can be caught up into the healing, transforming energy of your Spirit. We come not to suggest our own solutions, but to learn how we can become part of your solution. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for your blessing on all those striving to bring peace to our war-torn world. We thank you for the first tentative steps towards a settlement between Israel and Palestine, and our strenuous hope that this may come to fruition. We offer up our longing for an end to the war in Ukraine and our distress that in every continent of the world, away from the news cameras, innocent lives continue to be devastated by violence and conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask your blessing on all who campaign for justice, for communities standing together against oppression, for women and girls asserting their right to independence and learning, for those struggling to protect their livelihoods against the ravages of climate change. May they be strengthened in hope and encouraged by the support of those who stand alongside them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders of nations, for the powerful few who hold the future of so many in their hands, for all those in our own country who shape laws and policies, asking that they may act with fairness and compassion, listening to the voices of those most often ignored. Give them wisdom and courage to do what is right, even when it is costly. And may we all recognize the part we are called to play in creating a society that is welcoming and inclusive, rejoicing in diversity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We hold up for your blessing, your church around the world, and here in this place, that we may be a people of persistence, not losing heart, not turning away from the needs before us, but willing to be led in new directions by your Spirit, serving with love and joy, offering welcome and hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We hold up to you those who are weary or anxious, those living with illness or pain, or stranded in the darkness of depression, those who feel alone, and those whose prayers seem unanswered. Bring comfort, healing, and the assurance of your presence. We name before you in our hearts those we know who are particularly on our minds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for ourselves that in our own struggles and uncertainties, we may learn to hold fast to you, to walk into each new day trusting in your faithfulness, listening for the voice of Jesus saying to us, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer all our prayers, spoken and unspoken, in the name of Jesus Christ, in whose words we now join together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for leading us so beautifully. Friends, we come to our final hymn this morning. If you're following in a hymn book, it's in the Oxford Circuit Songbook, Number 166. We shall go out with hope of resurrection. We sing together. So friends, I reiterate the invitation to please join us for tea and coffee if you would like to, just through this door on my left, a door on your right, and follow the crowd and the smell of coffee. And a blessing before we go. We go now. We go with God's blessing. We go in justice and love. We go to love our neighbours. We go to respect and care for the earth. We go with hope. We go to make peace. So go now. It is time. Let us go and walk with God. Amen.